You've heard me talk about CTC Math for some time now, but have you tried it out yet? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective. This online math program uses creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am back with Abby Ranella and Rachel Carmen. And if you missed part one of our conversation, you definitely want to go back and listen to that from Monday. It was so good. And we are having a great conversation about sanity and seven simple steps to sanity. Rachel and Abby, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to be here.
One of the best things I think we can do too is talk with our husbands about it and ask him. I know, yeah. You know, when I go to Garrett and I say, you know, what do you think about this schedule that we're looking at, or this, you know, whether it's curriculum schedule, whatever, you know, or we want to go do this thing. What do you think about that? And oftentimes he'll see things differently than I see them. Yeah. And he'll say, it's probably not going to work out for you to do that because X, Y, Z. And I'm like, oh yeah. And sometimes I disagree, but, you know, I do my best to be respectful to him as the leader of our home. But I do think it's wise to go to our husbands and ask them, especially if it's something that we're struggling with, a decision that we're not sure that's going to affect our whole family.
Yeah, exactly. They tend to have a different perspective because they're just not right there all day doing it. So they can kind of see the bigger. And it was my husband that was like, because I couldn't figure out. I'm like, what is going on? And he's like, have you noticed that you guys have been gone doing good things, but you have been gone every single day and everything's falling apart.
And you two are amazing at this because that leads completely to the next point.
We're amazing.
And the next step is quite, I found, controversial. So it seems like in every one of the presentations that I make, there's one point that seems to be like, and this is that one. So that's just, you know, my preview. I really think one of the keys to sanity as a wife and a mother and a homeschool mom, we need to stay home. Mm-hmm. This is called homeschool. It's not called van school. It's not called drive around like a crazy woman school. It's not called extracurricular activity school. It's called homeschool. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever had Deb Bell on. She's another person that I would recommend. She did her doctoral dissertation on the perfect context for learning. And the punchline is the perfect context for learning is a home. Because it's safe and it's filled with love and it nurtures learning. It nurtures a joy of learning. And I have found in 25 years that we have gotten the most important things done. And you mentioned it a minute ago, Allie, character issues done, sibling relationships solidified, respect for parents, time in God's word. We get those things done when we spend long periods of time at home. Yeah. And I get it. I mean, I am talking about the really hard work of really sitting still. Look, when we started this, my number one fear, I did not want to be home. I had a mentor early on and I had a mantra early on and I did not want to be at my house, right? I had this little baby and I wanted to be on the go. I wanted to be in every Bible study possible. You know, I'll be home long enough to put on dinner and rotate laundry and fold a load. And then I'm gone. You know, I didn't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. I had become obsessed with rushing around and being busy. And, you know, there's a lot of things you don't have to deal with.
Yeah.
When you do that. And that's how I was living my life. There were things that I retrospectively, certainly, but even in the moment, I knew there were some issues in my own heart that God wanted to deal with. And I was just determined not to sit still long enough for him to actually put his finger on it. Right. So my way was just diversion, right? I'm just going to go. And a lot of the things that I was doing were good, but they were not profitable. And I really think as a homeschool mom, when we can really set a context at home of stillness, of peacefulness, of nurturing. We can nurture curiosity and joy and engagement and questions and ideas. We do that when we're actually at home.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's nothing like every morning. And so my kids are a little older, so I wouldn't have done this when I had littles, but my kids are old enough now that every morning I light a candle. There's something about lighting a candle that sets a tone in your home. Mm-hmm. There's something about having the tea kettle on. There's something about classical, non-lyrical music in the background. You can set a tone in your house and set a context, but the reality is, Mom, it starts with you. Mm-hmm. And if this is not your habit, I'm talking about a dramatic downshift. I'm talking about leaning in to what Jesus himself invited us to, you know, come unto me, all that ye who are weary and heavy laden. All you who think you're going crazy or who are overwhelmed. I mean, that's a big blank, right?
Yeah, right.
You can fill in all you who are just exhausted and just whatever you would fill in. Come to me. Come unto me. Mm-hmm. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, come, I'll take it. But what he's inviting us to is to rest in him. And what do we do when we all lay down? What is required for us to actually rest? We get still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And stillness happens in the home. Mm-hmm. And I really think that this is a gift that we can give to our children. And I will admit, I'm a first generation be still, right? So I was raised in a rush. I'm not saying this is something that I had. This is something that I've had to cultivate in my heart. Mm. But I think for sanity, leaning in to the joys of being at home, mm-hmm. which, you know, including your kids and household chores. I think the number one recipe, we've been doing fun facts of COVID, you know, at home at the dinner table. Everybody brings the fun facts. So the fun fact one night was, what's the number one recipe that's been Googled during COVID? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Banana bread.
Really?
Oh, so comforting.
So it seems like, and then the other breads were in there, like French bread and sandwich bread. Oh, no. So apparently some people have dared to lean in. Mm. Let's dare to lean in when COVID is a thing of the past, when we're not wearing masks. Let's dare to lean in and knead bread.
Right.
Let's dare to lean in and go on a nature walk. Mm-hmm. Let's dare to lean in and teach our kids how to fold the laundry. Mm-hmm. Let's dare to deal with our own heart. To deal with our kids' heart, because, you know, we can correct behavior on the fly. You can do that in the van. You can do that at the soccer field. But if you're really going to deal with a heart issue, which is what the action is springing from, mm-hmm. you need to be at home to do that.
Yeah.
So
when you're just shuffling kids from one place to another, you lose so many opportunities to get to know your kids, to really, mm-hmm. you said, lean into knowing your kids, to seeing what's going on in their hearts. And I tell you, there's never, when you're all sitting around folding laundry, the conversations that come, the depth of learning mm-hmm. who your kids are, that doesn't happen when you're just shuffling from one thing to the next, to the next. And I mean, home, I'm a little bit like you. I love home and it's so hard to get me out. And that's why this summer I was like, all right, we're going to do all the things. And we crashed and burned, you know?
Sure.
And I'm like, you know what? It's not what it's cracked up to be, is doing all the things. Home is where there is rest, where we can get to know each other, where we can press into the Lord together, and where we can kind of regroup and find that peace. So you can't be a keeper of the home if you're not home.
Yeah,
I know. And you know what? And now, let me tell you too, as someone who has graduated and launched 5 kids, you have an opportunity now to create a place that your kids want to come back to. Hmm. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen accidentally. That happens intentionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to create a place that your kids can't wait not only to come home themselves, but they want to bring their friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So you're doing that now. So you're doing something, right? Either intentionally or accidentally, you're doing something. And I just dare you, create a place that your kids can't wait to come back to after their launch.
That's into the so world. Good. That is so good, Rachel. And you talk a lot about that, how your kids bring home kids from, I remember last time we talked, They were all bringing home people from school, and you made a place that they wanted to bring their friends. That is so good. That is something we should aspire to do.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I really do. I really am grateful for that. Now, here's a great one. And for me, it's really easy. But one of the things that I've learned about this one is it's really hard for some people. The next step, I don't know what number we're on. So
I think
you might know.
Six.
Okay, on six. Okay, so the sixth of the seven simple steps to sanity. Start laughing. Start laughing. Again, this is something that on the one hand comes really naturally to me. I love to laugh. But I can also tell you that the control freak in me, some things are not funny. I don't want to laugh in the moment because I'm trying to do something and my kids are laughing and I just need to laugh, right?
Right.
So this is one of the stories that I tell, so I have to tell it today. So one day I was really being intense and I was standing on my knees in front of my probably 3 and 5 year old son. We were doing Bible story time. And I was talking to them about King David and how amazing it was that he killed a lion with his bare hands. And I said, isn't that amazing? Can you imagine how brave and courageous he must have been to kill a lion with his bare hands? And my oldest son, he looked at his hands and he goes, but I don't have bare hands. And I was like, okay, that's hilarious.
It is hilarious.
He's thinking King David had bare hands.
Bare hands.
And I just started laughing and I was like, oh, that is so hilarious. That is so funny. And in that moment, right, I grew our relationship and we were able to build in and I didn't go, oh, good grief. That's not what that, you know, I could have done that.
Sure.
And the control freak in me wants to do that, you know, but it's a funny moment. So starting to laugh, your kids need to see you laugh, Mom. They need to see you smile. I often ask when I'm on this point, the mom in the audience to give me their mean mom look. And, you know, it's kind of frightening in front of all of these moms giving their mean mom look. Look, here's the deal. Your kids know your mean mom look. Mm-hmm. And there's a time for that. But I'm going to tell you, your kids need to know your smile.
Yeah.
And my experience has been so often my smile and wink can bring upon them more conviction than my mean mom look.
Yes.
I just look at them and just smile. I'm so proud of you. Wink, give them a thumbs up. I'm just shocked how sometimes they'll come and go, I'm so sorry I didn't. And I'm just like, whoa, because what are we saying? We're saying, I love you. Mm-hmm. I think you're amazing. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so glad God sent you to our home just with a smile.
Yeah.
And otherwise our mean mom look is we're just constantly judging them. We're just looking for them to mess up. Let's smile. Our kids need. And again, as someone who's launched five, I want my kids to hear the echo of my laugh when they're alone in an apartment,
right?
When they're alone in a dorm room, when they've had a really lousy day. I want them to hear the echo of my laugh.
Yeah.
They're going to see our mean mom look. But let's laugh. It's like a safety valve, right? Where you're in the middle of something and you need to be able to laugh about something.
Yeah.
You're going to cry. That's just life. But laughing to me seems like something we need to more intentionally allow ourselves to do.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. I love that you talk about smiling. You know, it's so interesting because at least I do this, and Abby, you and I have talked a lot about this. I'm a very visual person. So I always visualize people in my head. And I visualize them differently. The people in my life who are happy and joyful, I picture them smiling. And the people in my life who are not so much, I don't necessarily picture them angry. Now, there are some people in my life who are always angry and on edge and confrontational. And those people I always picture in my mind as just kind of an angry person. But I want to be that person, you know, who people just see when they think of me as a joyful person, as a happy person, and especially my girls. I want my girls to think of me that way and to remember me that way. I have a grandmother who was very unkind. She was a very mean woman, and that, like, everyone's view in our family of her when we think of her is that. I mean, she was just, she was mean. And
yeah,
I mean, I don't ever remember her smiling or laughing unless she was laughing at someone at their expense. And so, and it's true. And you know, it's a great experiment to do when you go out in public and you look at people, and people will sometimes just be downcast and you smile at them. They will almost always smile back. Like smiling just so does something.
And just, we feel it right now when everybody's covered up.
Right.
And you can, it's like, there is a heaviness when you cannot see people smile.
Yes.
I mean, it's deeper than just, because you're feeling it out there when we don't see smiles. And children, especially children, they are so responsive. And my littlest, tiniest one, my 5-year-old, you can tell how uncomfortable she is when she says something to someone that is covered and she can't tell if they're smiling. She's looking for that affirmation through a smile. And it's shown how important it is to smile at someone.
Right.
It really, really is. And you know, it says in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yeah, that's right.
And our smile is an outplay of what's in our heart. If we have the joy of the Lord, and what's the joy of the Lord? The knowledge that He has paid a sin penalty that we could not pay, and mercy has forgiven us, and in grace has promised us a heavenly home. That is reason to smile. And that is reason to smile to strangers. I remember a couple of years ago, we got to go to the Global Homeschool Conference in Russia.
Yeah.
So it's always smart if you're going to go to Russia or any other foreign country, sort of read up on what are the cultural yays and nays. Well, in Russia, you do not smile to strangers. Because they think that you're really super weird if, you know, like you're drunk or something.
Oh, I would never make it there.
I didn't realize. I mean, I don't think you realize, especially if it's normative for you, how much you smile at strangers. And I kept finding myself smiling at these people, and they're just, I mean, just deadpan back at me. And I was just like, oh, I know.
I thought you were insane.
You know, and you're just, oh my goodness. But it was so sad to see such a mass of people without hope.
Yes.
They didn't fundamentally have the joy of the Lord. The most joyful people that I know, one of them was Davis's grandmother, Nani. She just was a joyful person. And she had reasons, a list longer than she was tall, of reasons to lean into despair. But she chose joy. I want to be a person who chooses to focus on the joy of the Lord, not to be defined about my circumstances, but chooses to focus on that and smile. So our last thing that you didn't think we were ever going to get to, I really believe when we do these things, when we live in these 6 things, when we're staying focused, when we're staying home, when we're saying no, we're setting limits, right? When we're starting slow, when we're doing all these different things, I really believe not only do we have sanity, but we can sleep. Sleep well. When I first started being a mom and my pursuit of doing it all and being superwoman, right? And having everything perfect, I really viewed sleep as a waste of time and actually resented having to sleep because there were things I wanted to do and sleep was just getting in the way. And it's just a completely wrong way to look at the gift that God has given us of rest. Sleep is one of the primary things that separates us from God. God never slumbers or sleeps, but He allows us to sleep. And it is something that we need. He doesn't need it. He's the night watchman, right? He watches over us while we slumber and sleep. He gives it to us. We require sleep. And if we live in an insane, chaotic life where we're chasing after the wind, chasing our tail, sleep often eludes us, right? Because we're worrying about things. Our mind is spinning. We have regrets. We were short. We yelled. We did. Look, we're going to do those things. But when we're choosing to rest in God, we're going to be able to really sleep well because we're going to be able to give it to Him. I just want to say to all the moms out there, look, you're not going to do this perfectly. But the good news is you have a perfect Heavenly Father who doesn't waste anything and who's going to take it all of your mistakes, all of your missteps, all of the things that you wish you'd done right the first time. And He's going to teach you and He's going to grow you and He's going to redeem it all for His glorious purpose.
Amen.
There is such a thing as sanity in home education.
Yes.
And that is, that's my thing.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. And awesome. We have to be intentional about it. That's what I'm learning more and more is that it's all possible. Right. I mean, you know, when we seek the Lord, it's possible to do what he's called us to do, but we have to be intentional about things.
Right.
We can't expect it to just magically happen and work itself out and get up every morning whenever we feel like getting up and just go about our day, however we feel like going about our day and just do the next thing that comes. We have to be intentional about everything that we do. And there can be times in our day, of course, where we're just, where we just have free time. That's always important too.
But it's intentional free time.
Right.
It's not ongoing, random.
Right.
You know, we don't serve a random God and we're not called to randomness. We're called to order.
Yes. Right.
And so even if we have a period of time in which we don't have anything planned, we plan to not to have anything planned.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, it's a very different thing. And again, I want to encourage the moms who are out there and who are listening, get together with some other moms and intentionally take time to talk about what the Lord is showing you and teaching you. Look at this list of seven things that we just went over and consider where's your weak point and where's your strength and pray to God about it and watch for him to do amazing things. One of the things that I love about home education is all the things that God has taught me about himself and all of the things he's revealed to me about me that he's working on. I'm so grateful. And that's why I think I'm so passionate about it. Is I want that for other people. I want other moms to get to see God in such a profoundly personal way. Look, for most of my life, God was God in the heavens, great bearded guy. I could count on him. He was there. He listened to my prayers. He answered a few. That was my position, right? And I felt like I was saved, but it was just sort of a passive kind of thing. I have seen God do things for me and my kids and my family so personally, I could not ever deny his existence.
Yeah.
That's what I want for people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a glorious place to be when you need him so desperately and he shows up in amazing ways.
Yeah. Yep. He is a faithful, faithful father.
He is.
So I'm going to run through them really quickly again. So we've got the first one is must seek God, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The second one is serve others. The third one is stay focused on God, being present with our kids and staying focused on God. Number four is say no. Number five is stay home. Six is start laughing and smiling. And number seven is sleep well.
Yes, ma'am.
Yay. Do I pass the test?
You did great. You passed the test, the quiz. You can at least repeat them. Now we have to do them.
Now we have to do them. So
we can do them with the strength of the Lord. And that's what we have to remember. We can't do any of these things on our own. We can't. We're not wired that way. But with the help of the Lord and seeking him and like Yvette said, being intentional to go before the Lord on these things, we can. And then we can not only just stay sane, we can thrive, we can flourish as women of God and as moms, homeschool moms, and his wives. I mean, that's the beauty of the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yep. It absolutely is. So Rachel, thank you for your encouragement so much
today. Thank you are so such much a for blessing.
You guys, if you have questions, are you able to stay on for a few minutes, Rachel, to answer any questions?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yeah. Those off the internet.
Okay. So those
are
can live.
I just say really quick before we go?
Yeah.
We have also, Rachel, we did a marriage one with Rachel Cully, like maybe a year. It was a long time ago.
It was a year ago.
It wasn't?
Abby, it was only like 5 or 6 months ago, maybe.
Really?
I don't even know. The last 3 months has seemed like a year.
That's true. I don't even know. What year is it? And we'll link to that because it was so
good.
So just to be able to stay sane as a homeschool mom, I really think one of the important things is always seek God first, like we said, but how important it is to put your marriage, to make your marriage important and to make that a very intentional focal point in your home. And so we did an amazing one with Rachel where she just encouraged marriage and our role in marriage and just the beauty of marriage and how that is kind of the foundation of of all of what we do as a homeschool mom. So go back and listen to that. Yes. It's incredibly encouraging.
Yeah, it is so good. Yeah. And you guys pop up your questions if you've got them right now. But yes, so Rachel, we did that one on marriage, but then you also were part of the Homegrown Generation Family Expo, yeah, which by the way, you guys can still sign up for that. People are still asking us about that and still signing up for it, which is amazing. If you sign up, you can still go back and watch all of the sessions. But Rachel, yours was on that child. You talked about yeah, that child. And you had people in tears, not funny tears, convicting yeah, tears. And it yeah, was so good of all of our sessions, which they were all amazing. But that was one of the ones that really
resonated.
It resonated with people and it just moved in the hearts of so many mm-hmm, people. And so if you guys have not watched that one, I think I'm right when I say that you can actually watch that one for free. We've actually put out, I believe it's 9 of the sessions for free. So including Abby's on why homeschool, getting to the heart of homeschooling.
Okay. And
Rachel, I'm almost 100% certain that yours is one of the free ones on there that people can actually watch. So even if people are not yeah, registered, it was so good that we wanted people to just hear it and be blessed by it.
Yeah.
So people yeah, can go back and watch that again. So homegrowngeneration.com. Perfect. Thank you so much, Rachel, for being with us and just for blessing us with your wisdom and your experience as a homeschool mom. You are such a joy. Where can people learn more about Rachel Carmen and Apologia and the ministry that you have?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for asking. So they can go to apologia.com and we have a plethora of information and resources for them there. And they can also find me at Rachel Carmen on Facebook or at my website, rachelcarmen.com. My name is spelled a little uniquely. So that's RachelCarman.com.
Great. And we will put links in the show notes for all of that so you guys can find Rachel and learn more about her. Again, thank you so much, Rachel. And thank you guys for joining us. You are such a joy to us and a blessing to us. And as we serve you in your role as homeschool parent, we want to be a huge blessing to you. Let us know how we can serve you. Let us know how we can encourage you and bless you. You can always send us an email at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. And also, if you would consider financial support for the ministry of Schoolhouse Rocked, please feel free to go to the website at schoolhouserocked.com and you can make a tax deductible donation there as well. We are fully supported by our listeners and those who just come around us and support what we're doing, the podcast, the movie, the blog, our social media, all that we have going on. That is only through God's great provision, through people like yourselves and through our sponsors. So thank you so much for those of you who take part in that. Again, visit schoolhouserocked.com and you can find the donate here button on there. But thank you guys. Have a fantastic rest of your day and we will see you back here next week. Bye.